Good morning, everyone. This is Nancy Crevier, and on behalf of the Healthy Living Team and Covering Wisconsin, we would like to welcome you to this health insurance update. Our speaker for the day is Jenny Appleby, who is a health insurance literacy specialist with Covering Wisconsin. And she'll tell you more about that when we, in a minute as she gets into her presentation. We just have a few housekeeping items that we want to talk about today. We're not actually going to take attendance or anything like that, but we did want to let you know that we are archiving this presentation, so that will be made available at some point down the road. We do ask that you be sure to keep your phones muted just so we don't have any background noises during the presentation. I believe Jenny is going to be leaving some time for questions at the end, but I'll let her address that too as she introduces her presentation. So without further ado, I'm going to turn this over to Jenny Appleby. Thank you, Jenny.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the November 2016 health insurance presentation. There are PowerPoint slides that accompany this with Lyme, so it would be best if you look at them and follow along while I'm speaking. And yes, we will leave some time at the end for questions. So jumping into slide number 2, an introduction. So I am Jenny Appleby. I'm a health insurance literacy specialist with Covering Wisconsin. I have worked for Covering Wisconsin for over 7 years, both in our Madison and our Milwaukee office. I also previously worked for UW Extension's nutrition program in Milwaukee County. And most recently, my colleague Stephanie Sievers and I, we have been working with Nancy to make sure that Extension educators in Wisconsin have the most up-to-date health insurance and health literacy information that you can then bring back to your local communities. Looking at slide number 3, a bit about Covering Wisconsin. So Covering Wisconsin, or what our acronym is CWI, was formerly called Covering Kids and Families. We have been around since 2003, and our goal is really to connect Wisconsin residents to programs that support health and wellness. So when you think about health insurance, we also do some work called direct certification with a school lunch program, things of that nature. We have offices at UW-Madison, so that's our main office location, is on campus there in the School of Human Ecology. We also have an office in Milwaukee, and that's at Community Advocates, a social service agency. Additionally, we have some subcontract offices in a few other counties, including Racine, Rock, Iowa, Portage, and Outagamie. We do have a distinct partnership with UW Extension to provide that health insurance education and resources. So Covering Wisconsin's largest programs that I just want to highlight a little bit, one of them is the Navigator program. So that has funding from the Affordable Care Act to actually provide direct enrollment assistance to consumers. So we do have staff on hand that are called Navigators who do provide that enrollment assistance to sign people up for health insurance. We cover 23 counties in Wisconsin, so there's 72 counties. We cover 23 of them, and some of that is our own in-house staff, and some of that happens through our subcontract offices. Then another large program, which both Stephanie and I work on behalf of, is our health insurance literacy program. So we have a variety of funding sources to help support the health insurance literacy work. And the three main things that we've been doing, one is to do the professional training throughout the state. So sometimes that's to Extension professionals, and sometimes it's to other organizations and entities. Second item is to really provide the guidance and tools to help consumers understand how to make sound financial choices about their health care. The third component is actually the literacy materials. So oftentimes when we're helping consumers, we are using those materials to help them better understand their healthcare and to sign up for healthcare. And we'll talk more about those literacy materials in a bit.
Jenny, could you just move your mic away a little bit? Just a little bit of echo there.
Sure. Hopefully this sounds a little better. Okay, so looking at slide number 5, the goals for today, the training is going to cover, the first thing is a discussion about the future of the Affordable Care Act. Second is this year's health insurance marketplace open enrollment period. The third is a release of a health insurance community presentation. The fourth is talking about where consumers can find in-person application assistance. And then the last item is an overview of some of those health insurance literacy fact sheets, or those how-to sheets. Looking at slide number 6, information that you are then going to be able to take from today's presentation to go back to your local communities to share with either consumers or community partners. So covering Wisconsin, we have created a new brief basic presentation that you can use in your part of the state. When you look at that presentation, it's about 30 minutes if you do all the slides, if you do the full presentation. So during this Wisline today, all of the slides that you're going to see that appear in blue or have kind of a blue border to them, those are the ones that are actually also included in the community presentation. So you can think of the UW Extension blue, and this is the content that you can bring back and share with community partners and consumers in your area. So it's kind of the bare bones. We're not going to obviously share all the details that we're going over today with our own communities. So the community presentation, it is a separate PowerPoint from the one you're looking at now, but that community presentation will be emailed to the people who are listening to this live. You'll get that after the call. And if you happen to be listening to an archive version and you'd like the community presentation, I can send that to you, and we also will have that posted online. So jumping into slide number 7, we are going to kind of start off by talking about the most current health insurance headline. So what are a lot of people talking about? They are wondering if Obamacare is going to be repealed and replaced. So, tips. When you are talking with community members, the best thing is really to try to avoid the speculation about the future, because we don't know. We know what currently is available, and we hear chatter about what may come, but at this point, we don't know. The most important thing is really to remain focused on what is available now and making sure that people still get covered. And keep in mind that any plans for change, there's been talk about what plans might have or what changes might happen, things of that nature. Currently, it looks like perhaps there will be a 2-year transition period before full changes would be implemented. So if you look at slide number 8, this is kind of the blue scheme. So this is the message that we would encourage you to talk to consumers about. So when they say, isn't Obamacare going away, or what's happening with that, we would address that, yes, the presidential election brings questions about the future of health insurance. However, the Affordable Care Act, and some people might not know it by the Affordable Care Act, they might know it as ACA, they might know it as Obamacare, they might reference healthcare.gov, they might just call it the marketplace. Those all mean the same thing. The Affordable Care Act is still the law, and at this point nothing has changed. The insurance options still remain available for the coming calendar year. So if people want to sign up, whatever, if they've already signed up, at this moment, everything is still the same for 2017. People should continue to enroll in the insurance that's best for their families, including the coverage and financial help that's available through the marketplace. And a reminder that by law, people still must have insurance or will likely pay a fee when they file their taxes. A few other points we'd like to make for our role is that really we inform and we connect consumers to programs and coverage that's available to them. And we always want to make sure that they know how to use their coverage. Nothing with that is going to change with any changes that might be coming down the pike. So this is very important. No matter how the programs change, we are still going to make sure that people then understand those changes if they happen. We're always going to be there to help explain it in simple terms. And as a reminder, looking at slide number 11, is that as state employees, as part of the UW system, we don't take partisan positions on, we don't stand up there and voice our opinion one way or the other. I understand as we're out there in the community, a lot of times people do feel passionate about these things. And so a lot of times the conversation in a presentation or in a discussion will start going down that route because somebody in the room is going to want to share either their support of changes or their frustration with changes or their fear of what changes might be happening. So I think that a lot of times people do want to be heard, and that's completely fine. But obviously for our own selves, we don't want to show those partisan positions. But I think that there are opportunities that we can encourage consumers to contact their elected officials, both at the state and the national level, so that they make sure that their voice is heard. Because I think a lot of times that's what happens when we're in these environments where we start bringing up the conversation of health insurance, is that people get very passionate and they want to share their own personal experiences and their own feelings. So I do encourage them to share those sentiments, but probably more with their elected officials. And looking at slide number 12, we did at Covering Wisconsin put together a media release that kind of recaps some of the things I just mentioned with some additional details as well. So if you want to go ahead and at some point read that full release that was put out, you can. The direct link is here in your slide. All right, so that's kind of tackling the biggest headline probably with health insurance, but prior to the election, I would say the second biggest headline that was kind of out and about was insurance prices are rising. That was definitely getting talked about. It was in the news. There was different articles getting written about the increase in prices. So let's talk about that for a minute. Monthly premiums have increased for insurance plans on the marketplace. So they have gone up by an average of about 16%. The marketplace plans here in Wisconsin actually have increased a little bit lower percentage than some of the other states, but yes, a lot of those plans have gone up. It's not an unprecedented increase by any means, but one of the things that is really important to know is that prices may have gone up, but the financial help that people get when they sign up for a marketplace plan also went up. So if you think about it, if somebody's, this is a complete example, but let's say that somebody's plan for this coming year went up by $100 a month for their premium, perhaps their financial help also went up by $100 to compensate for it. So people who are getting financial help for the marketplace plans probably also saw an increase in that financial help. And if you look up the numbers, about 85% of the people in Wisconsin who get marketplace plans do get that financial help. So most people who are getting those plans are getting that financial help, and their financial help went up. So the bottom line, the takeaway, is that for most people in Wisconsin, they're going to actually be paying a similar monthly premium this past year as they will for 2017. So that's kind of important to know, is that we don't want people to be discouraged by getting a marketplace plan or anything of that nature. We want them to understand that really you want to look at your options, because the bottom line that you pay every month may not really have increased much. So looking at slide 14, another thing is, what about these plans coming and going on the marketplace? What about the companies that are leaving, things like that? fortunately for us, Wisconsin still remains one of the most competitive health insurance markets for the marketplace in the country. So in 2017, there are 44 different plans that are offered on the marketplace, and those are from 15 different companies. So as you can see by the math, is that companies can have more than one plan on the marketplace, different coverage options and things of that nature. So looking at some specifics, Ambetter, United, Physicians Plus, and WPS Arise, they are exiting, so they will not be offering plans on the marketplace for 2017. Remember, this is specifically talking about the marketplace. That doesn't mean that they might, you know, they might still be in the private marketplace, or they might still be available for somebody's work-sponsored insurance. This is specifically for the health insurance marketplace. And then for the health insurance marketplace, Children's Community Health Plan has joined. So if you are wondering what plans are available in your area, you look at slide number 15, and the website link is there. So I would encourage you to check out that website. But there is a map that OCI, or the Office of the Commissioner of Insurance, puts together every year. And it shows the insurance carriers by county. So you click on a county, and you can see what insurance carriers are available in that county. Most counties, so 79% of the counties, have three or more options for companies on the marketplace. So most county people do have options. There are some counties that only have two carriers, and then actually Menominee County is the only county that only has one carrier, and that's Molina Healthcare in Menominee County. So if you're curious about your county or the counties that you serve, I would definitely encourage you to take a look at that map, click on the county. And if you can kind of see on the slide, this is an example from Dane County. What you need to do, it's going to show all the companies available in that county. And if you go all the way over to the right-hand side, it's going to say marketed on FFN. And what that stands for is that it is marketed on the federally facilitated marketplace. And federally facilitated marketplace is the marketplace is healthcare.gov. So if it has a Y, that means yes. So if you look at the company and it has a Y, that means that those are the plans available on the marketplace. So slide number 16. Some people have specifically been coming and calling our office to talk to our navigators and have been saying they got a letter saying that their insurance company is no longer available, because remember a few slides previously we talked about that there were some companies that left the Wisconsin marketplace. So if people received a letter saying that their company is no longer available, they should choose a new plan before December 15th. And the reason why that date is important is because new plans begin January 1st. So people right now are enrolling. It's the open enrollment period. They're either enrolling or renewing, and you have to do it by the 15th of the month for the change to take place by the 1st of the next month. So if you think about plans that are going to begin January 1, we want people to choose their new plan by December 15th. The second bullet point, and this is new this year, is that if their company has left and they do not choose a new plan, they're not just going to totally be uninsured. What's going to happen is that they will automatically be enrolled in, or renewed into a similar plan. But obviously, if their company isn't around, it's going to be with a different insurance company. So that's something new that's happening this year. So, you know, if you had an Ambetter plan and you don't actively go in and choose your new plan, you're going to be assigned one. They try to look for the most similar plan, but, you know, every plan on the marketplace is different. And one of the things that is important for consumers to know is that the new plan could have different costs. It could have different networks, so that's really important for people who want to keep their doctor. They need to make sure that their new plan, that they can still see that same doctor. And it might cover prescriptions differently. So even if people plan to keep their current coverage, we always encourage renewals, because they may qualify for more financial help. They could review their plan options. Maybe something is going to be better for 2017 in terms of, you know, more coverage or lower costs or whatever it might be than it was in 2016. So we really encourage people, whether it's because their plan left and they have to choose a new one, or just to shop around and see what the options are, because every year the plans look different. Every calendar year the plans look different. And so we encourage people strongly to renew. So the takeaway is that marketplace users will benefit by actively renewing their coverage, whether they have to get enrolled in a new plan, or even if, you know, they're happy, they might just want to look around and see what their options are.
Can we take a moment just to make sure that everybody's on mute? Please mute your phone. Thank you.
Thank you. So going into our next topic on slide number 17 is the community presentation. So I already briefly mentioned it, but I just want to say a few more things. That this presentation, the community presentation, it's basic. So you don't need to share with them all the details about health insurance or all the things that we're going to talk about today. Rather, this idea is that you would provide them with some basics about options that are available. You would know where to refer them if they have additional questions or if they'd like to sign up. We aren't giving this community presentation to Extension educators expecting that everything I say today in the Swiss line, you're going to remember and regurgitate out in the community. This today is way too much information for most of our community partners and our consumers. So really think of this community presentation as a pared-down version of the most basic, the most important pieces of information for people regarding health insurance. So what we're going to do in the coming slides is we're going to review some of that information that you could share with consumers and community partners. And for those of you who are on the list line today, you're going to receive that community presentation via email later this afternoon. And if you're listening to the archive version and you want that community presentation, here's my email address, japplebee@wisc.edu. You can email me and I'll send it to you, but it'll also be posted along with this list line online. Jumping into slide number 18. So as you can see, this is something that you would talk about in the community presentation. The basic. What are the health insurance options that are out there? You might get people who say, my insurance is too expensive. I can't afford it. I heard that there's this program that's better. I heard this. You know, there's a lot of questions that people have about insurance. And so we want to start with health insurance options. This specific slide where we look at 1, 2, 3, 4 is actually part of a fact sheet, and that sheet is available for download from coveringwi.org. But we kind of just put it up there because it helps people to see really an order of what they want to think about. So you do really want to start at the top and think about, is number 1 available to you? If not, how about number 2? If not, how about number 3 or number 4? Going to the next slide, one of the considerations that people have to make in terms of what am I going to be eligible for is they have to look at the income of their family. And so the household is who people file taxes with. So you need to know that because that's going to impact what you end up being eligible for. The other thing is that the household size, and again, that looks at the family as who they file taxes with. So household size and income are very important. When you start doing these applications and you start looking at your options, those things are going to help determine the availability, the eligibility for the programs. And one of the points that we try to make to people is that each person in your family may actually end up qualifying for a different health insurance option. So this is where it gets kind of confusing, and this is not something that, you know, you as an extension educator need to try to sit there and figure out of, you know, this child is going to get be on Badger Care, but the parent's going to be on Marketplace. That gets into a level of detail that, you know, that's beyond our scope of work. But just making people aware that looking at your household size, looking at your income, that really ends up impacting what people might be eligible for. Looking at option number one, health insurance from your job. So the first thing is that we need to find out if health insurance from your job is considered affordable. It's based on a calculation that ends up looking at the cost of the employer plan and the family's income. So this is math that, you know, they are going to have to get some information from their job about how much the plan costs at the job, and then they do have to be able to look at their family's gross income, their income, you know, before taxes. So we have put together an affordability worksheet that we can give to people to kind of help them through that math process. And that is something that an enrollment assistant or navigator could help them do, this worksheet. And one of the important things to notice is the reason why health insurance from your job is way up there on the top is because if you can get affordable health insurance from your job, then you can't end up getting that financial help from a marketplace plan. So it doesn't mean you can't get a marketplace plan, but you're not going to get that financial help. So this is really where we want people to start with, of can you get it from your job? The next slide, number two, Medicare. Do you qualify for Medicare? So simply stated, 65 or over, or end-stage kidney disease, or receiving SSDI, Social Security Disability Insurance. Medicare is not something that a navigator or most enrollment assistants help people sign up with, but there is a great number that people can call, and a lot of the ADRCs, Aging Disability Resource Centers, in your area will help with those Medicare applications. The next one, number three, is Badger Care Plus. Badger Care Plus is state of Wisconsin Medicaid insurance. So people might call it Badger Care Plus, same thing. People are referring to state of Wisconsin insurance, Medicaid, MA. They might refer to it by the Forward Health Card. That's all the same thing. This program is for lower income adults, parents, and children. The one thing to note is that people can sign up anytime for Badger Care Plus. So there's no open enrollment period for Badger Care Plus. And access.wi.gov, that's the state of Wisconsin's website to sign up for it. One of the benefits of signing up, if somebody, for example, if somebody says, I have no job, I have no income, we know they're going to be Badger Care eligible if they have zero income. They could go ahead and sign up through Access. And one of the things is that when you're signing up through that website, at the same time, through that same application, you can also sign up for food stamps, or in our state it's called Food Share, and Child Care Assistance, which is called Wisconsin Share. So there are charts that show the income limits for who is eligible for Badger Care Plus. One thing to note is that how we talked about different people in your family might be eligible for different programs, the eligibility is different for adults than it is for pregnant women and children for Badger Care Plus. So adults are eligible up to 100% of the federal poverty level. Pregnant women and children are eligible up to 300% of the poverty level. So I didn't include the charts in this presentation, but as a couple examples, a family size of one, so one single adult who's not pregnant, they could make $11,880 a year for gross income or less to be eligible for Badger Care Plus. Another example would be, let's say, a household of three, so maybe two parents and one child. That child, remember, is eligible up to 300%. So for a family of three, 300% means that the family makes $60,480 a year or less. So those get into the details. Sometimes people want to see these charts. They want to kind of estimate, am I going to be eligible for Badger Care Plus? Are my kids going to be eligible? So by all means, the backside of that option sheet does have the charts on it. But the most important thing is for someone to apply. Because what happens is if they apply, whether they, you know, if they're applying on Access and their income is too high for Badger Care Plus, what happens is then their application just automatically gets forwarded to the marketplace. So it'll say, you know, you're not income eligible for Badger Care Plus, we'll forward it along. And the marketplace, that's going to bring us to the next slide, to option number four. So the marketplace, as we talked about, is also called Obamacare or Affordable Care Act. And almost everyone can get a marketplace plan, but it's that financial help is based on income. So here you'll see this chart of, you know, for a family of three, let's look at the family of three. If that household of three makes $80,360 a year or less, that family is going to get that financial help. The financial help means that they can take it. They're basically getting a tax credit. A lot of people choose to get that tax credit in advance so that their monthly premium is lower. So people can get that financial help based on their income. Now, if all of a sudden somebody does that application through the marketplace, so you can actually do it over the phone. You can call the marketplace call center, or you can go to healthcare.gov. In Wisconsin, we are a federally facilitated marketplace, so we have all the national health insurance website and phone number and things of that nature. If they ended up applying on the marketplace and their income was lower so that they're actually Badger Care Plus eligible, well, then the marketplace application will get forwarded back to the state for processing. So think of it as no wrong door. Whether somebody starts at Access or they start at healthcare.gov, it's going to screen them for both, and they're going to get to the right place in the end. So, again, I cannot stress enough that as extension educators, as people who are out talking about health insurance in the community, we don't need to try to figure out what people are eligible for. We need to encourage them to apply, encourage them to explore their options, and then we will end up giving them information so that they know where they can apply and how they can get that in-person assistance. Which brings us to the next slide, slide number 24. So that in-person assistance, we will talk about in just a moment where consumers can find free in-person assistance. One of the things right at the top, that deadline, we want to make sure people know that, as was mentioned previously, consumers must sign up for Marketplace Insurance by December 15th if they want their coverage to begin January 1st. If they sign up right before the January 31st open enrollment deadline, then the coverage will begin in March. So I think I didn't quite mention that on the last slide, but for the marketplace, the open enrollment period is November 1st through January 31st. So they can sign up through January 31st, but just know that, you know, it'll begin March 1st if they sign up really close to that deadline. So looking at slide number 25. And this is something that we definitely would want to include in the community presentation. We want people to know where they can get free in-person assistance. So 211 is a great local resource to find help in your area. And when somebody calls, and I actually would strongly encourage you, if you don't know where people can go in your area, to just, while you're at work or home, wherever, call 211 and say, hey, where's the closest place for someone who wants to sign up for insurance? And they can probably give you a list. I mean, in a lot of places, there's more than one location, too. So if you say that you want to sign up for insurance, an enrollment assistor, it might be a navigator. So the navigators, like I said, covering Wisconsin, is a navigator entity. That just means that we have that federal funding to sign people up. There's also what's called a certified application counselor. So some hospitals, clinics, community organizations, they have chosen to have people also do enrollment. These are people who, navigators and CACs and the public benefits assistors and the brokers and agents, they've all gone through that training and are able to help people sign up for marketplace insurance. So signing up for insurance should be free, and hopefully, you know, people are able to find someone in their area that can help them sign up for free. Worst case scenario, if you go back to slide number 23 where we talked about the marketplace, that 1-800 number, people can always do the applications over the phone too by calling the National Call Center. Even if their income is lower and they'd be Medicaid eligible, if they do that application, remember, over the phone, it would get forwarded to the state of Wisconsin. Also, if people need help in another language, and you don't have somebody local in your area that speaks that language, then again, they could call the Marketplace Call Center because they have the ability to serve over 150 languages. Looking at slide number 26. This is something new and exciting, and I would encourage you to go online and to check that out. So coveringwi.org/enroll, or actually if you just go to coveringwi.org, right on the homepage, you will see information that says find local help. This is the new connector tool. So Enroll America has put this out, and Covering Wisconsin has purchased this for our state. We've been working with other partners to have this here in Wisconsin. And basically what it is an online booking for an appointment. And so people, navigators or CACs who do these application assistance appointments have entered time slots on this online tool. Consumers, or if you had somebody, you know, that you met or a community partner met and they wanted an appointment, you can go ahead and enter the zip code and book that appointment online in your area. So this is a great resource because anybody who wants to make an appointment can go online, find one that's close to them, and go ahead and book that appointment right then and there. Switching gears a little bit now to slide number 27. We're going to talk more about some of these outreach materials. So these are the health insurance literacy how-to sheets. We're going to go over a few of these sheets. And what you're going to see is that in these sheets, there is a whole series of a few different, you know, topic areas that have been addressed relating to helping people sign up for and understand their insurance, to best use it to get the most bang for their buck, to get the best quality care that they can, to help them navigate the whole process and the whole world of insurance. So these sheets have been created in partnership with the Wisconsin Health Information Organization, with Wisconsin Health Literacy, with Extension, with a lot of our partners around the state. And what we've done is topics have been suggested, and then drafts have been made, and they've been reviewed, and they've been consumer tested. So all the sheets that have been made available have gone through consumer testing, where the consumers look at them and give us feedback to help us make them the most understandable for the public. But what we found is these fact sheets are helpful, yes, for the public, but also for those of us who work in this field as well, because health insurance is complex. And so to have information that's easily understandable in simple language has been very beneficial. So when you're looking at these sheets, one thing that I want to stress is that we're not looking to add a bunch more work to any one person's plate. But a lot of these sheets were really designed with the idea of what are a lot of the professionals in the field already sharing with consumers in regards to health insurance. So they might have their little spiel and they might be saying these things to a consumer, but they don't have a nice visual to help accompany their words. Or they don't have a take-home sheet that then the consumer can kind of read and go over to reinforce what they just heard. So the goal is to really find those teachable moments where these things are being discussed, and then have one or two fact sheets that are very specific to the consumer's need at that time. So I'm going to give you an example. I did a display at a AARP conference at one point. So I had the display there. And people would walk past, and a lot of different people were there promoting different health and wellness programs. And so I had a binder of all my materials, of all these fact sheets, and I simply just would say, I'm here, I can help address any questions you might have about insurance. And we kind of just went from there. And so some people might talk about, you know, the problem that they're having. Some people might talk about that they know that their sister needs insurance. Whatever it might be that was relevant to that person, then we took out that sheet and we started going over some of the information with them. So maybe you go to a health fair. I even had this stuff at the UW Extension Day at the State Fair. You know, think of the different venues where you are, where these topics might be coming up. And it's important to just meet people where they're at, give them a little piece of information that they can take with them, and, you know, do something with the information. Also, I want to point out that, you know, we've been talking earlier about some of these policy changes that may or may not be coming. We'll definitely create materials and help people understand along the way any changes that would be coming in the future. Looking at slide 28, this is really looking at the idea of health literacy, helping people understand things that relate to their health and their well-being, to meet the needs of all of the audiences. You know, we're not just looking at low literacy audiences. Any audience can use these, can have these things involved, you know, used for the materials that they see. To use plain language, let's use simple everyday terms, speaking language. Looking at white space, I mean, can you imagine if every handout just had paragraphs upon paragraphs? None of us would read that, and so why would we expect consumers to read that kind of literature? Making sure the fonts are large, making sure that the images are relevant. We talk about a lot that, you know, happy, smiling people look nice and maybe evoke happiness, but it's not really telling the consumer anything. It's not really helping them take action. Really looking at including only the pertinent information. So that's a really hard one, because when you know a lot about a topic and you want to share because maybe this one situation is going to impact this consumer, so I better explain it here. Well, no, let's really look at, is that a nice-to-know piece of information or is that a need-to-know? Let's really only put on these sheets the stuff that people really need to know. Action steps, again. What is a consumer supposed to do with this information? What should they do next? And then, as we said, that all of these sheets have been consumer tested. Looking at slide 29, that's just the web link. You can go, and I would encourage you to go to coveringwi.org/learn, or if you just go to the homepage and you click on I'm looking for how-to sheets, you're going to see all the sheets posted there. So the sheets are available in a few different categories. So there's a category of signing up for insurance. So there's a number of sheets that deal with actually helping people sign up. Then there's the next category of helping them use insurance. Things like where do I go for care when I'm sick, or quality medical appointments, things like that, actually using the insurance. Then there's a category of VadraCare Plus, or ones that really relate to the Medicaid program. There's also ones that relate specifically to people who have insurance or are signing up for insurance on the marketplace. And then the last category is about the financial choices, so all the ones that relate to the financial aspect of healthcare. So there's just two little images here on slide number 30. One of those, that top example, is a VadraCare Plus example, but what I want to draw your attention to is that green circle or oval that says Spanish version. So we have some of them already available in Spanish. We are working on having even more available in Spanish. So if they're available in Spanish, they are posted currently on the website in Spanish. So we're going to look at just a couple of them. One of them is Getting Started, and this is a popular one. I would say when I'm out at these community events and I have materials that I'm bringing along, this one is a popular one because even for people who already have insurance, they might not understand all the insurance jargon. And so this sheet is kind of a good icebreaker for, do you have any questions about all these terms that are out there? Because we know that when you look at the cost related to health insurance, there's the premium. There's that monthly amount that you pay to have insurance. You know, this sheet is specifically looking at the marketplace, but this would also apply to people's work plans, right? That they have that monthly premium. Then after that, there's those out-of-pocket costs. What are those? Looks like a deductible. What's the deductible? What's a copayment? What's coinsurance? So as you can see from the little image here on slide 31, is that we have taken these terms, tried to describe them in very simple language, but also putting a visual to it. So I really encourage you to go take a look at this, because you'll kind of see how with the visual it helps people better grasp the concept. You know, some people have a copayment, some people have coinsurance, some people have both, but really what are these terms? The idea is that we don't want people to be surprised at the cost of, you know, they sign up for a plan and they pay their monthly premium, but whoa, why am I getting bills now that I'm going to the doctor's office? We want them to be prepared and to save for those bills and to also understand those bills. On the back of this getting started sheet, you will see, this is new. We just added at the top, we kind of revised this one for this year based on some feedback that we've been getting about what are the things that people should consider before choosing a plan. So if somebody is looking for a new plan, what are the things they should think about? And so here, I'm not going to read through all of them, but questions 1 through 6 are just some of the things that we want people to start thinking about. What happens when somebody is signing up for a plan on the marketplace is that those navigators and those CACs, once all the information is entered into the application, it'll produce what plans are available for that consumer. They all have different prices, different deductibles, copay, coinsurance, different networks, you know, all that kind of stuff. As enrollment assisters, they can't tell the person which one to pick, but they can help them understand the plan so that they're choosing the best one for them. And so these are some of the questions that we go over to really help somebody think about those things that are going to impact them. You know, how much are things going to cost? How much will you be paying for certain prescriptions? That kind of thing. Slide number 33. I would say this is another great one that when you're somewhere and you don't really know what kind of insurance people have, this is a great one because it applies to everybody, is regardless of what kind of plan that you have, what are some of the things that are free when you have health insurance? So this was a different provision under the Affordable Care Act, is that there had to be certain services that were free with every plan. And one of the things is that the third bullet point on slide 33 is that everybody gets that free annual checkup. In addition, for women can also get their well woman visit. So there are services that are free regardless of what plan that you have. So on the back of that fact sheet on slide 34, you'll see that whole listing of some of the free preventive services. These are something that the doctor might not bring up to the patient, but that if the patient knows about, they could ask for at their appointment. And so one of the things is that I often show people this list, and I said, oh, okay, you have insurance, you know, people say, oh, I'm happy with my insurance, no questions. Okay, would you like to take a look at the list of all the things that are free once you have insurance? And a lot of times they're pretty surprised, and, you know, we just give it to people and let them go over it and say, hey, if you could take advantage of some of these things that are free with your plan, go for it. Or if you have somebody that you might know that would benefit from some of these free services with their own plan, please, you know, take the fact sheet, let people know about it. Because that's one of the things is that, you know, when people have insurance, they don't always know what's included in their plan. So we want to make sure that they're using their plans the best possible. We also want to make sure that they are going for those annual checkups. I mean, that is a huge thing when you think about preventative care. Instead of being reactive and just going with your sick, go to that annual checkup so that things that are recurring health problems get caught early and can be addressed. Looking at slide 35, one of the things that we want to point out is that some of these materials that we have, so when you're kind of cruising through and looking at all the different how-to sheets, some of them can very easily be localized for your part of the state. So this is an example. This is called our special enrollment period flyer. And basically, this talks about, you know, people can sign up only through, for the marketplace, you have to sign up during the open enrollment period. But once the open enrollment period is over, if people have these life changes or these special events, like they moved or they, you know, there was a birth in the family, something like that, they can actually sign up for marketplace coverage outside of open enrollment if they had one of these special events happen. So this is that flyer, the little image here. But one of the things we've done is that we're able to actually provide the local contact information. And so instead of just giving, saying call 211 or instead of just giving the national 1-800 number, when you find out where people can go in your area to sign up, we can actually put those direct phone numbers and information on the sheets. What we've found and what we've heard is that people, when they see a local number, they're more likely to feel comfortable calling. They're more likely to go in. They're more likely to respond to that piece of information when it's not just that 1-800 or generic number. We have been doing a lot of conversations throughout different parts of the state because we are going to be doing some additional materials focusing more on rural audiences and those with chronic health conditions. And one of the things in some of our key informant interviews as we've been talking to our community partners is they say, specifically in rural areas, that they don't want to just see the Milwaukee number or the Madison number or the 1-800 number. They want somebody local who can help. So we are able to do that for our extension partners. And so if you see one of these handouts, or maybe even that options one that we talked about, the four health insurance options that are listed, maybe all it needs to say at the top, and actually we did this one, this is a real life example, is health insurance options for Clark County. You know, maybe we just need to make it a little more personalized to your area so that people are more likely to pick it up and read it. So if you'd like to see something localized, please, you can contact me or Stephanie, and Stephanie's information is here on this slide. The last two slides we're just going to go over before we get to questions. Slide number 36, this is just some ideas for extension educators. So obviously you showed some interest by being on this list line today or listening to an archived version, so thank you for that. But what do you do from here? One idea. If you're not already a part of it, you can join the Healthy Living Team. Nancy is one of the co-chairs, and I'm sure she'd be happy to talk to you more about, you know, what the Healthy Living Team does. Bullet point number two. We just recently updated this FYI website, so Extension has a lot of these FYI websites. We just updated the health insurance one, so the direct link is right here on your slide, slide number 36. But if you go to that website, that's where eventually the archived version of this list line will be. That's where you're going to find a few different pieces of information, too, that we've already gone over in today's presentation. But really, if you have questions or if you need something else related to health insurance or health literacy, let us know because we can post it on that specific web page. And so the hope is that, you know, I gave you quite a few different web links today during this presentation, but they're all listed, you know, from that website. So that kind of can be your one-stop shop. If you just kind of have that page bookmarked, we'll hopefully put all the relevant and useful information on that specific page for you. The other thing, if you're not already a part of it, is the Connecting to Coverage and Care Google Plus community. So that is where every week we will send, whether it be health-related news coverage, links to that, you know, different trainings that might be coming up, different pieces of information. That's where the Google community where we post stuff. For the most part, you're going to hear mostly from myself, Stephanie, and Nancy, but that's also something if you come across any piece of information that you'd like to share with the rest of the group, by all means, feel free to post to that community as well. The how-to sheets, we already talked about those. Then the last two things, the press releases. So we didn't talk about these yet. We work with Meg Gores to put out a press release every other month about, or every month. We have about 6 to 9 of them per year, and they're on a health-related topic. So it's written in the standard press release format that a lot of other extension press releases are, where you can localize it with your own contact information. But basically, you would get those via Meg Gores, or if you look on the FL Connection, they're also posted there, and then you can send those to your own local community papers and stuff of that nature. And then the community presentation, which you'll all be receiving later this afternoon, or you can request after today. So last slide, questions. So if you do have a question, now would be the time. You can go ahead and unmute, and we'll stick around for a little bit longer to answer any questions you may have. Additionally, there is my email address, Stephanie's and Nancy's. Feel free to contact us at any time about any of this stuff. Today, we really covered a lot of the health insurance options and news and things like that, but we also can provide a lot more details about the health literacy and the materials and what to look for if you want to revise materials or when you're choosing materials to put out in the community. So we had the one slide that kind of talked about some best practices with plain language, white space, things like that. We can even dive into that much, much further and talk more about health literacy. So all things to think about. So at this time, feel free to ask a question if you have one.
Hello, this is Renee Kiwani.
Hi, Renee.
Hi, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I think you had shared at one time a list or like a map of the state, and it showed how many people were participating in the marketplace in each county. Would you be able to share that link again?
Sure, sure.
So I just want to get a kind of a feel for how many people in my county participate in the marketplace.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and we'll send the most recent data. And what I'll do for the archived version, I can add that into of where you find marketplace numbers and things of that nature. Yeah, and I know that that's something that a lot of people like to kind of see in their community. They like to know their local numbers, both with BadgerCare Plus and with Marketplace. I do know that in our state, about 224,000 people are insured through the marketplace. So that's just kind of the statewide number. But yep, we'll share health insurance numbers.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Stephanie. Stephanie Sievers.
Hi,
I just wanted to add in to what you already shared, Jenny, that I have Spanish versions of nearly every single fact sheet. I'm just consumer testing them right now, so if there is someone in a county who really needs Spanish documents, if they can email me and let me know which ones they're needing, and I can send them the PDF of what we have so far, and they could potentially go ahead and circulate them and let me know if there's any feedback from the community in lieu of consumer tested. So that was just my my 2 cents.
Thanks. Well, with that, I think we'll end today's WIFLINE. Feel free to contact us in the future with any questions, and we hope to kind of be in touch with all of you soon.
One more question for you.
Sure.
I tried to ask it before, and I cut myself off with my headset. On the request for the numbers of participants by county, is it possible to get that by year, by county, since the start of the Affordable Care Act, so we can see the progression over time and the change?
I will look at all the data that we have available, and I'll make sure to put whatever data we have. I know that I've definitely seen some nice charts that show the national numbers and the Wisconsin numbers and things like that, but I'll see what we have, and I'll include all the data that we have. That's no problem.
Yeah. I just thought it would be good by county to be able to take a look at what has happened over time, whatever has happened. So, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jenny. You're so grateful. Oh, does somebody else have a question yet? Yeah, this is Joy Kirkpatrick. I apologize if there's a lot of noise in my car. I'm not driving, though. The question that I have with the chart that has the amount of income for different sizes of families, for those of us who are working with farmers or self-employed people who may have some quite a bit of variability in their incomes from year to year, can you give us some direction as to, you know, do they look at 2016's income to base their 2017, you know, what do they base it on? And I realize that they're probably needing to work with whoever their tax specialist is because they have to make it up if they make more money than they thought they would and that sort of thing. But can you, are there some bullet points that we can, because as soon as we do a presentation like this, that's going to be the question.
Yes. Great question, and you're not the only one who's asked this question. So to kind of take a step back to the first piece of your question, so what they look at for the marketplace is you are estimating what you're going to make for the coming year. So if you were signing up right now, you are putting what you're expecting to make for 2017. So a lot of people do look at what they made previously by based on their rough numbers from tax returns or, you know, what they know they've made so far in 2016, but you are estimating what you intend to make in the coming year. That, like you said, can be tricky because sometimes you're doing an estimate and your estimate is not accurate. So, yes, we do strongly encourage whoever they work with through their tax preparer that they are in close communication with them, especially if they start making a lot more or a lot less than they were anticipating because, as you said, you know, the tax credits are that financial help is based on what you're estimating. And if you're wrong and you make way more than you thought, you could end up owing some of those tax credits back because basically you got too big of a tax credit at the time. So, yes, it is important to work with a tax preparer for that. And they'll help you best estimate your income and also update changes as they happen throughout the year. So if all of a sudden you're making a lot more, you want to report that. You don't want to wait till the end of the year. And that's actually a really good point for anybody enrolling in a Marketplace plan or Badger Care Plus is that when you're having those fluctuations in income, you want to make sure you're reporting that. So then to kind of carry that conversation a little further, for people who do have these fluctuating incomes or they were really off in what they were expecting to make and what they actually are making, there are people who end up going between Badger Care Plus and Marketplace. And we are actually working on a sheet that is addressing that. And so Joy, it was Joy, correct, that was talking?
Yes.
I believe. What we'll do, I'm going to share with you, we have a very rough draft that we're trying to put a piece of information or a fact sheet together that I think as we kind of develop some more stuff in this realm, you probably might be a good person to get some, to provide us with some more input because I think you're right. We do need to make sure that we're addressing that because people aren't sure, you know, what is actually counted as income and all that kind of stuff and what happens for those people who are fluctuating between the two or, you know, are there's also something called gap cases where maybe they're looking at the annual income for Marketplace but then at a monthly income for Badger Care and which one are they eligible for and, you know, it gets confusing in a hurry. But I am going to jot down your information and so we can kind of stay in touch with you about this because, like I said, one of our grants is talking about developing materials for rural audiences. So this is obviously a rural audience. And so we'll be in touch and hopefully that we can continue to make sure that you have the best information available. And for everybody else who's listening to this, just know that as these pieces of information become available, they always will get posted on coveringwi.org.
If I might add to what you said, Jenny, this is Stephanie again. So what people who have really fluctuating incomes can do is maybe estimate the low side of their income, but then on the Marketplace they'll get asked a question of if they're going to apply all of the tax credits now or use some or use none and just get a big chunk back at tax time. So for those with very widely fluctuating incomes, they could estimate low, but then not use all of the money right away. And that's kind of a nice way to equalize out what might be a fluctuating, oh, maybe it's a really good year or maybe it's not. Because if you don't have a good year, you don't want to pay for a plan that has much higher premiums if your income never is going to get to that rate. Does that make sense? It can be
a little tricky.
I'm also told by the Rural Health Initiative, I think that's what they're called, RHI, that a lot of farmers prefer to work with their agents. And they've traditionally gone to an agent, and they really just really want to work with an agent. And a lot of agents can enroll people through the marketplace as well. And they're really good at helping people work out those incomes, as well as navigators and enrollment assistors. They've got a lot of experience trying to help and work out with people, you know, what is going to be that estimated income and whatnot. But I know that some people take this tact, and it tends to work well for them. You know, estimate low, but don't take all of the tax credits.
And there is, if you look up the fact sheets, there is a fact sheet that's under the marketplace category called premium tax credits. And when you look on the second page of the premium tax credit fact sheet, there is a very clear example that talks about what that means to use all of your tax credits toward the premium, to use some or to use none.
Yeah, that would really aid to explain to someone who wouldn't understand the whole system to have that visual and the simple example.
Okay, thank you. That's all been really helpful, and when I'm back where I can look at that website, I will definitely take a look at that, and I would be happy to review anything that you think might be helpful for people with who are self-employed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else? Any other questions before we end?
I have one question. I'm working with an employer that is closing their business, and about 150 people will be out of a job. Which one sheet would be best to share with employees, because right now they're getting flooded with a lot of resources from the workforce development, and I don't want to overwhelm them with everything, but what would you suggest might be one helpful sheet for them?
I do have a question. Where is this located?
Kewaunee County.
Okay. I don't know what your thought is, Jenny. I would recommend the options sheet, and I would have it personalized to have the local contact information of any type of enrollment assistors on there.
I don't think we have enrollment assistors in our county.
What was it, Kewaunee, you said?
Right.
Yeah, I think you're right.
This is Renee.
Yes. Yeah.
Right? Okay. I'll follow up with you via email sometime within the next week or so, but what we could look at, too, is, you know, if it needs to be the 1-800 number, then it needs to be the 1-800 number. But letting people know, I think it needs to be a version of, yes, the options, but the important piece for people to know is that they kind of need that special enrollment period information, too, because once the employer closes and they no longer have employer-sponsored insurance, that's considered that special life event, or they can sign up, you know, if that's out of open enrollment.
If it's after open enrollment. You know, Renee,
yeah.
I have an idea. You're part of the East Central REN, and the REN coordinator is fantastic. I bet she would be willing to come out for a day or so and talk to people and help them enroll. She's a navigator.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Well. So I
if you could connect me, that would be great.
Yeah, I'll look into that.
Yep, because what we want people to know is absolutely those options, and then that they have that, you know, 60 days before or after that change in their coverage that they could sign up. So if they've gotten a letter saying their coverage is going to end on this date, they can actually do the application in advance, but there's not a lapse in coverage. So those are all little pieces of information that I think right, if we could get somebody out to talk to them. And a lot of times what happens is really, too, just making sure that the employer, HR, whoever it is at the office really just has that piece of information. So like you said, that they can hand out like that one thing instead of trying to flood them with information. But,
right. Okay, thank you.
Great. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions? Well, thank you so much. And thank you especially to Jenny Appleby. And Stephanie, we appreciate you stopping in with us, too. We always like to hear from you, too. And as Jenny indicated, if you ever have any questions related to any of this, please contact me or one of them individually. They're more than welcome. They actually are supported by UW Extension and have their time is supported by us, portions of it. So please feel free to go directly to them, too. And we'd just like to thank you again and have a good day.
Take care.